campus with a student body who has significant financial need. So many of our students do qualify for the Perkins because you have to exhibit need, and I think they're going to feel that.
Without the program, UW-Madison Associate Financial Aid Director Jeff Fund fears some students won't be able to pay.
We worry that if we roll into next semester that we might have students that have balances, and they won't be able to return to school because they owe money from the previous semester.
Bills to restore the program in Congress haven't moved forward despite bipartisan support. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
10.5 minutes after 8, just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg. Let's check sports and weather. NBA, Bucks and Bulls off last night. Both teams off again tonight. NHL, Blackhawks play the Flyers in Philadelphia. NFL, Thursday Night Football, Seattle at Arizona. Forecast from the National Weather Service today, cloudy for the morning, sunny, breezy, and cold for the afternoon. High of 39, winds up to 20 miles per hour later on. Right now, 41 degrees Racine, 40 in Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg, next.
Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for the morning show also comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Jack and Drea, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD HD. I'm Gregory Berg. Happy to be welcoming back into our studios Nan Calvert, who is paying her monthly visit to the program. Nan is on the staff of the Seno Nature Conservancy. Did I say that correctly?
Well, you're getting
fill us in. How should I say?
Seno Conservancy is fine.
Oh, okay. We'll leave the nature out of it then, although it's a beautiful place to experience nature, of course.
Oh, yes.
Nan visits us on a monthly visit, on a monthly basis, I should say, and has typically an interesting guest with her as well, and that is certainly the case today, although this is someone that I think Nan has just met in person this morning for the
yes.
very first time. So, Nan, tell us how you came to even know who Dawn DeMute is before meeting her.
Well, okay, so we have to back up a little bit. About 3 years ago, or perhaps a little bit more, the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center made contact with Eric Carlberg and the Prairie Farm Corps there. And then Eric became intimately involved with the Eco Justice Center, serving on the board, advising, and doing all kinds of other things. And the goal eventually turned to having a farm corps at the Eco Justice Center. And so, as with pretty much everything that's envisioned at the Eco Justice Center, it came to pass. And there are two seasons now with the Farm Corps under the Eco Justice Center's belt. And Dawn has spent her first season there as the program manager for the Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center's Farm Corps. And I thought, you know, there's so much going on in terms of land acquisition for uses other than farming. I think it's important to highlight people who are doing smaller scale sustainable farming. We had Charlie Tennyson on, and from Anarchy Acres, talking about his heritage wheat production. We've had Eric Carlberg on a few years ago with a couple of the students from Prairie Farm Corps, and so. You know, now that this is, it's always a timely topic in terms of land use, but ever the more so with the advent of Foxconn and the loss of land that represents. How do we then mitigate that loss? How do we keep land healthy and sustainably productive?
Right. And of course, it also maybe one inadvertent silver lining for somebody who views the Foxconn development mostly as a negative, and of course not everybody views it
right
that way, but for anybody who really feels deep concern, one, I suppose, inadvertent silver lining of the situation might be that this really gets us thinking about land itself,
right,
and how we use land, and in particular the farmland around us. And it tends to be something that the vast majority of us tend to take for granted until suddenly a bunch of it is suddenly gone. Or suddenly unavailable for that. And I feel like a lot of people here in southeastern Wisconsin are thinking about this whole issue in a way that they probably haven't in a long, long time, if ever.
Right. I agree with you. I think we very rarely think of land as an integral part of life. But that's where our food comes from. If we don't have healthy soil and clean water and a diversity of plants, things begin to fall apart pretty quickly. And so now, because, you know, the earth is not getting any bigger and our population is not getting any smaller, we have to have that in the forefront of our minds. Every time we do something, we have to think about how am I benefiting this land? Am I benefiting it or am I taking away from it? Mm-hmm. Aldo Leopold taught that, you know, if man and land do benefit, then both of them win.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's a relationship. As I always say, it's a relationship.
Hmm. So, Dawn DeMute, we are really happy to have you here on the morning show and happy to make your acquaintance and very pleased about this opportunity to learn more about the Youth Farm Corps at the Eco Justice Center. Before we get into that, let's find out a little bit about you, where you are from originally, and what in your life early on would be sort of a portent of the things that you have gone on to do.
Sure. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. I'm really excited about it. So, as you said, my name is Dawn DeMute, and I am the program manager for the Youth Farm Corps program at the Eco Justice Center. And my background, I've been in Wisconsin with my husband. We moved here about a year and a half ago.
Oh.
And have spent most of our lives in Detroit, Michigan. Not where I grew up. I grew up in a very rural area in Indiana with corn and soybean, a lot of monocrop farmland.
Hmm.
And so I've always been in rural farming communities as a youth. And as an adult in Detroit, became heavily interested in being part of the Detroit Agriculture Network, which really since 2008 has been, for me, an interest for over 10 years.
And tell us about that program. It's something I have just the vaguest awareness of. What is the Detroit, you said farm program?
It began as an agriculture network. It has blossomed into an urban agriculture center of an organization called Keep Growing Detroit that has grown to over 2,000 gardens within the city, which could be a school garden, a community garden, a family garden. And it's an opportunity for those of us that were interested to have workshops and education, resources. And so from that time, you know, period where I was really invested in green spaces in Detroit and growing in Detroit, I ended up becoming a full-time grower and farmers and a market gardener. Distinction between a farm and a market garden is the market garden is specifically growing produce to sell at farmers markets within the community. So grow and feed your own community, in addition to scaling up and learning how to scale up as an entrepreneur, as a farmer. And that meant scaling up to be able to sell produce to local area restaurants, so wholesale initiatives. And so that's kind of where my, you know, my passion lies, is absolutely with sustainable green spaces, growing spaces. As Nan said, you know, land acquisition, whether it's urban or rural, to make sure those green spaces are available for communities, for, you know, food security, for community purposes, for being able to ensure that we as a community provide all our ages, you know, from youth all the way up to senior citizens, that green space to develop community and to grow, you know, collectively and, you know, healthy foods.
I had read about that. In fact, I saw mention of that project made in some kind of documentary, and it intrigued me so much because, of course, for people who don't particularly know the city of Detroit, it sort of feels like the unlikeliest of places for something like that to occur, and which, of course, makes it all the more remarkable and all the more important. And it sounds like you, up close and personal, saw the kind of difference that made in people's lives and in the collective life of the city of Detroit.
Yeah, and I think it's important to make the distinction that there's a familiar feel here in, you know, the Racine area, the Milwaukee area. This is a regional, certainly a regional issue, if not greater, in regards to unused vacant land and how we develop it and how we use it. And whether it's a rural area or urban agriculture is becoming a very important piece of the puzzle in regards to local healthy foods. And having, in this case, the Racine Area Youth Farm Court Garden, along with Racine Community Gardens in other places developing, having those spaces and having that educational component to it, the opportunity to teach and educate and share the information, is becoming, I think, extremely important to us as sustaining and sustainable communities. So it's wide-ranging, and Racine, when we moved here, had a very familiar feel with the challenges, with the issues with food deserts is another familiar aspect that Racine faces, along with other major metropolitan areas, and how we choose to address that and how we choose to engage our youth at a very young age by exposing them to healthy foods, growing healthy concepts. And, you know, so as we talk more about the Racine Area Youth Farm Corps and the garden at the Eco Justice Centers, you know, I think they play a pivotal role and an expanding role in offering that space and that environment to teach and share what we can do for ourselves.
For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Nan Calvert to the morning show, and the guest she has brought with her today is Don DeMute, who is the program manager for the Youth Farm Corps program at the Ego Justice Center. Nan kind of touched on this, but maybe you can sketch this in a little more detail exactly. And although I have a feeling the program must have started before you came aboard as its program director, of course, but what can you tell us about what precipitated the creation of the Youth Farm Corps and the Eco Justice Center's role in making that happen?
Sure. So the Eco Justice Center, which is a sponsored ministry of the Racine Dominicans, and their, of course, mission is environmental education and care of earth. And so in the context of community, creativity, contemplation, and cultivation was born this idea and concept, I think, which Eric brought to the board, of that cultivation aspect and how do we serve that mission well. And from that was the Racine Area Youth Farm Corps program, which was developed in, I guess, 2016 would have been the first season. And I was not there for that initial season. I did become a volunteer in the fall as we had some generous donors that provided us with the funds to erect a hoop house, which is a passive solar growing space that allows you to extend the season. And I had some background that I brought with me on hoop houses and growing in hoop houses from Detroit. And so I volunteered to help get that completed and set up. The Eco Justice Center, as you may know or some people may not know, is a model 15-acre farmland that focuses on sustainability and environmental responsibility. So when I talk about the passive solar hoop house for growing, the center also has models of solar panels, geothermal, wind turbine, roof material that's made out of recycled tires. So it's a wonderful place to visit and see these solutions to clean energy and sustainable living being practiced, because we do have the Racine Dominican Sisters that live on site, along with myriad animals and just a beautiful, unique setting that allows people to come in and observe. And part of that is the garden, which is, we grow directly in the land, but we also grow in the hoop house. So when I started with my volunteer work, it was ironic in that when we moved here and chose the Racine area as this is a good fit for us based on what we do and our beliefs and the community and what we see happening, we ended up purchasing a 5-acre parcel that happens to be directly next to Anarchy Acres and Charlie Tennyson, which is how I learned of the center to begin with. So, right, small world, long story short, I learned about the Eco Justice Center and trying to find my way here in a new area. It was an ideal fit.
Wow. And the rest is history.
And the rest leads us to 2017 season where, I spent a lot of time learning about the program and the mission and applied for the position as Youth Farm Corps Program Manager, which led me into the 2017 season. And the program itself is a job skills training, but there's so much more to it. As in life, there's always more than meets the eye. The Youth Farm Corps program is an outreach to Racine area high school students, and we hire up to 4 high school students for an 11-week summer program, and it's a paid program. And we hire 1 college intern to serve as a mentor and a coach. Usually that college intern and, and we will be starting outreach quite heavily with the colleges and the local high schools. The intern sometimes will have a environmental degree or interest that they're pursuing. It may be in sustainable energy. It may be in agriculture. They're all a wonderful fit. Nutrition is also a big aspect of what we're talking and working about. So in the course of those 11 weeks, our crew, and they start from a seed or a transplant, and they follow the life cycle of growing all the way to harvest. And we do this in a sustainable manner by, we do no-till beds, which the students helped build. We have over 40 raised beds that they helped build. And they learn not only about connecting with the earth, which is part of growing, they learn about eating choices. They learn about growing without the use, you know, we reject the use of chemical fertilizers, and we grow using organic methods. So they learn about care of earth. They learn about what the earth and the garden gives back to us. When we harvest, we're incorporating that into discussions about nutritional value. We're incorporating that into cooking with the youth, having them have hands-on, which is a lot of fun because, you know, oh, I never tried a kohlrabi. What is this strange-looking vegetable? So they're learning about other things that maybe they haven't been exposed to. And then the really, really fun part for me is sharing it with the community. And we attended 3 different farmers markets for the 2017 season, which we expect to continue each year as the program continues and grows. So we appeared at the right outside WIC because we do support the farmers market nutrition program vouchers.
Right.
So we want that food to, we want that healthy produce to really be in the hands of the community. And then the West Racine farmers market, which is on Wednesdays and Saturdays, of course, buttoned up for the season. And the youth learn these really wonderful skills of communicating with clients about what they've been doing and growing and talking about the produce. So they gain this confidence in communication skills, in public, being in public speaking. And the biggest part is educating about what they're doing. So they're educating their communities, they're educating their families, they're taking the knowledge that they've learned about growing healthy produce and making decisions in their diet, and they're, you know, hopefully taking it home with them and sharing it with their families. So while the season has ended for the Youth Farm Corps program, the garden is still growing, right? So the garden is still producing today. And we do still some harvesting and some food donations. But the soil doesn't sleep. We may put the garden to bed, but the soil doesn't sleep. It's active, you know, we're feeding it, you know, with end-of-year compost. But that garden, outside the scope of the 11 weeks with the Youth Farm Corps, in the spring we host field trips, we host schools, and they are coming in, and because of the generous gift of that hoop house, we are having children and youth tasting fresh produce in April.
Wow.
So that's given us this expanded season where we're letting our community come and share this experience as well. So the garden is hosting field trips. The garden is connected with the 4 weeks of summer camp that the EcoJustice Center hosts. And our crew then interacts with those younger children, you know, age 10 through 14, say, where they then become these mentors of older kids showing how cool it is to grow things and cook with things. And then they're gaining some of these leadership skills. So the summer camp connects to the garden and the Youth Farm Corps, and having those children come in and plant a seed or pick a green and taste things and have a fresh salad that has been harvested from the garden at the close of their week of camp is a lot of fun for them to taste. And then beyond that, you know, we have events like Farm to Table where we're trying to engage the larger community about what does it mean to grow local. How, you know, and we talk about food miles. I could go on and on. We talk about food miles. We talk about sustainable growing. We talk about supporting your local farmers by attending farmers markets to make them a viable business that we want to support. And then all the way up until the month of October, we as an Eco Justice Center had the Growing Healthy program that we partnered with some partners in Hawthorne Hollow. And every first grader from the Racine Unified School District was hosted at one of our locations. And each one of these children came into the hoop house and sampled still fresh vegetables. We're still growing kale, for example, is a great crop that can survive the frost. So it's really incredible when you think about, you know, from April to October, the garden is quite the hub of activity, and it gives us the ability to touch a lot of individuals from the time that they're young and impressionable, hopefully, and they take some of these lessons about growing healthy and learn from that.
Mm. For those of you just joining us, Nan Calvert's with us, and Don Demute, who is the program manager for the Youth Farm Corps program at the Eco Justice Center. So specifically with the Youth Farm Corps, what kind of students have been a part of it, and what kind of students are you looking for?
That's a great question. One of the things that we are, of course, providing to these high school students is probably, in most cases, their first job. Hmm. So it is about job skills, and they are going through some of the rehearsal for what that will be later in life, which is an application, an interview process.
Right.
And we want them to leave the program not only with a new awareness of the environment and healthy growing and local food, among many other things, we want them to walk away with job skills that they can take to any field in the future. And as Nan said, our Youth Farm Corps program is based on Prairie Farm Corps, which is a program of the that we're modeled after, where they have many, you know, I think I want to say 7 years.
Oh, at least, yeah.
So they have so we model after them because they have a lot of experience with this. And when we are interviewing and looking at those applications, we're absolutely wanting enthusiasm. You know, more than anything else, it's a genuine interest and enthusiasm in either agriculture or just becoming more in touch with the animals and the ecosystem that we provide, because part of the student's job is also animal care. Mm. So it's feeding the alpaca, the chicken, the goats, and there's a lot of interaction with the whole ecosystem. Another important factor that we like to look at, and I think has an impact in what we do, is the statistics that are within the school district and how many of our youth are relying on the reduced or free lunch program. Mm. So that's in, you know, those numbers are indicative of that we don't have necessarily a really good system in place to make sure that we are providing healthy, local, appropriate foods to our community. And that's also an important factor that we look at when we are talking with the youth, is what kind of difference it could make in their personal lives or their home life.
Mm. So there can be, in a sense, an element of need in terms of a young person who really, in a sense, needs this in their own life or the life of their family.
Yeah, and we see in, you know, each season, I'm assuming will be a little different, but I like to believe that the impact that we have is we have youth now who are making different decisions going forward about choosing processed food over, you know, fresh food, and understanding calories that are nutritious. And so we hope that that makes a difference. It would be a wonderful thing, too, to think that some of these youth may then connect with community gardens or be inspired to start a garden in their own backyards. And as the program grows, we hope to be able to help them initiate some of that. So we're young. This is only the second year of the program. But it is really exciting to think about how much of an impact we may be able to make by making more partnerships and more connections, and being able to think about how we can provide resources to the community to continue this sustainable food community.
Right. Are any of the youth this year returnees from last season, or generally speaking, each summer is the plan to begin with a new slate of young people?
I love that question. I'm so glad you asked that question. This, so far, each year it has been new crew and leader. We had such a wonderful crew this year, and, you know, some things were life-changing. Because we are very plant-based, so we had one of our crew members choose to become a vegetarian, which was life-changing for that individual. We want to be cognizant that as we go forward with the program, we think continuity can equate to sustainability. And when we have a crew member who has shown leadership ability and a genuine interest in pursuing more knowledge with the program, I believe it's very important for us to create an opportunity for repeat turnover. And we'd love to consider having some of our youth back the following year. Mm. And then they become a model for where we balance it with new youth coming into the program. And then there's a built-in mentor who's got familiarity with, you know, they know the names of the animals. They know all the alpaca names. They know all the little idiosyncrasies of the farm. And I think it could really benefit us to have some continuity with the program by bringing some of our youth back with an opportunity for them.
Hmm. How does it get decided what's going to be grown and where? I mean, the very specific makeup of the garden, is that something that largely are decisions that you make as the program manager, or are those decisions and choices that are made, in a sense, more collectively?
I would have to say that this year was a little bit of ad hoc. We had a very wet spring. So thankfully, we were able to grow in the hoops. So the decisions are made by crop cold tolerant. You know, what can we grow early? What can we get in the ground right away with seed?
So I can tell you one thing. There will always be Kohlrabi at the Eco Justice Center. It seems to be a staple.
It's a winner. So since we practice IPM, which is integrated pest management, we don't use pesticides. The other factor is what disease or pest pressures might we face on a crop that don't make it a good choice? And some of these things we're learning. For me, this was the first year on this plot. So we're learning about what crops maybe didn't make it because of flea beetle pressure. So we make decisions on that. The most important advice I ever received when I first was doing gardening on my own was, it is extremely important to grow a crop that you love. Choose a crop that you want to take care of because you're vested in it, because it's tasty and you love it. So tomatoes, of course, are right up there. And a lot of what we want to do going forward is we want to focus on making sure that we're saving some of our own seed, and that means open pollinated. So it's choosing non-hybrid varieties and choosing varieties that give us the opportunity to sow. It's called succession planting. So you grow, and then the area is cleared and you plant again and again. So all of the factors that go into what we grow are about crop rotation, about timeliness, about the time that our youth is there with us, whether we have to use a transplant to get a head start, or whether we're going to direct seed. So they're learning all of those things. For example, the garlic just went in the last couple weeks, where it will stay all winter. The youth weren't able to plant that because they weren't part of the program ended, but they will be able to harvest it, which is an exciting thing to do. So I think that is an evolving thing every year. We want to grow what is appropriate for our community so that we are hitting our goal of serving the community and what they want at the markets. In addition to, we want to grow to make sure that our summer camp has a fresh salad, at the end of every week. So there's a lot of factors. But it is always important to grow what you love.
How big are we talking in terms of acreage? How large is the garden at the Eco Justice Center?
Presently, the garden is not quite even a quarter of an acre. It's not that it's postage stamp. It's over, 50 feet wide by, 125 feet deep. And then we also have our compost areas back there, too, where we're always recycling food scraps and animal manure into compost. So that's part of an extension of the garden. And we, square footage wise, we're at this point, I think, approximately 2,000 square feet.
Is it possible that will expand in future years?
I would love it to expand, because some crops take up so much space. Squashes, rambling kind of things that take the whole season, that take up the space. It's very hard to support that crop right now. So I think that many of us are vested in having the space grow, but have it grow in a manageable way.
Right.
So that our youth are not overwhelmed, so that they can focus on learning and the workshops and the cooking that are all part, and the markets that are all part of the program, without them feeling like, we want them to be successful.
Right. You mentioned the fact that you basically don't use any pesticides, or at least anything that, I guess most pesticides, if not all, are chemical pesticides. I don't know if there are natural pesticides. You don't hear about that. You hear about natural fertilizers, but you really are trying to do this as cleanly and sustainably as possible. So for the matter then of pests, are they just allowed to just do whatever they like? Or, are there other means by which you try to divert the pests or get rid of the pests? Or, how do you deal with that reality if this is about creating delicious food for people to eat, but without using pesticides.
Sure, a challenge for many, many gardeners. And we do. We reject the use of chemical-based fertilizers and pesticides, which means that we need to find natural methods. Or the other thing that is interesting to note is just because produce may have a couple chew marks on it doesn't mean it's not still healthy and nutritious. So our society's idea of the perfect food is is part of the problem why so much of our produce is thrown away and wasted. It's really almost shameful. What you know, what we don't use based on its visual appearance. In our case, what we do is you try to keep your soil as healthy as possible, and one of the ways to do that is, of course, to cover crop or compost, feed your soil. You know, take care of your soil, take care of the biological life that lives in the soil, and what you would have seen a lot of, and again, the Eco Justice Center is open to the public year-round. Certainly, we invite you to kind of go to the website and check it out. And the garden can always be, you know, observed and visited. If you would have visited this summer, you would have seen what we refer to as our beneficial crops and also our pollinator crops. So we plant things that may not be necessarily food for us, but they are food for the beneficials that may be the pests that take care of a good percentage of the pest crop or the pest insect. We plant the beneficials so that we have Sister Janet has honeybees on the property. And, of course, there are many native pollinators, and that's a very big issue, which we could spend a whole other session on. So we plant beneficials so that our bees and our butterflies and our native pollinators have food right within the confines of the garden because they're doing a lot of the work by pollinating the flowers and the vegetables. There are some sprays that you can make. So, for example, you can make a garlic spray, a hot pepper spray. Soft-bodied insects versus hard-bodied insects respond differently. But at the end of the day, it is about keeping your soil and your environment as healthy as possible. And then nature takes care of itself. You don't, you know, by exposing it to chemicals and other things is short-sighted in our minds. And we don't feel the need to go in that direction at
right.
all.
So in other words, we are a little bit too prone to kind of aggressive intervention.
Everybody likes a fast solution.
Right.
And, you know, life is not about quick and easy. Sometimes
right.
you have to learn the lessons and it takes time.
Right. Nan is smiling and nodding. This is all the gospel truth for you, isn't it?
Yes. You know, just a couple of things I wanted to mention. A little while back, you know, Dawn was talking about coming to Racine and why they chose to live in Racine. And it just occurs to me that, you know, there are towns and cities and villages that tout a golf course. And that's what brings people to their town or something else. But, you know, in Racine County especially, there are so many people within, and I'll use the word sustainability, the sustainability community. And that's a big draw for people, for like-minded people. And what better way to build an amazing community than to attract people like Dawn and other people who understand that you live in relationship with everything, the soil and water and plants and all of the other living things. And so what a great thing to talk up about our community and have people realize that we have a very strong environmental community in Racine, and yay for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray.
Yeah, yay for you, Nan. And to emphasize that was very much, you know, we made a list. Here's what we're looking for. And we explored different communities. And what we saw was we saw farmers markets. We saw Green and Greater Racine, we connected with Wild Root Market very early on before we even chose this location. And we understood that there is a current here, mm-hmm. that when we band together as a community, we can make a really big difference. Mm-hmm. And everything that we have seen since we've been here absolutely supports that. And we're still new, and there's so many nonprofits and organizations and community and civic opportunities here that this is a great place to be. Right. Mm-hmm. And when we see farmland converted to a development, it's a cause for concern. Mm-hmm. When we see businesses or industry that is affecting our quality of life, i.e. the two most important things, water and food, the ability to have mm-hmm. a local sustainable food system, those are huge areas of concern.
And they affect everybody.
Right. So our water, our air, our ability to produce food locally. And I think that when we see the environmental disasters and crisis that's happening across the country, and we think about where the majority of our food comes from, we know how important it is to support local agriculture. And I think that's something that is an area that should always be, top of the list.
Mm-hmm. And I think small-scale agriculture, when you think about Anarchy Acres or you think about the Eco Justice Center, comparatively, it's smaller scale. It's certainly not what people do in their side yard or their backyard. It's much bigger than that. And of course, you really wouldn't be able to necessarily replicate what they're doing unless you have some property. But those kinds of endeavors teach us that we can do things differently. You don't have to spray everything. You don't have to have chemical weed control. There are different ways to do it. And if you have a little weed, that's okay. It's not going to ruin your entire garden. Life has weeds. Sometimes that's what makes it beautiful. But the other part of it is that this kind of an agricultural operation can live in harmony with the natural world. Dawn mentioned native pollinators. Oftentimes when you think of large-scale agriculture, when you think of agribusiness, it's completely the opposite of living in harmony with everything else in the world. And so this is a different model. This teaches us that, yes, it can be done. And certainly there are larger-scale farms that are creating buffer zones along the edges of their plantings for native pollinators. They're trying to control noxious weeds better and in different ways, but still that is in its infancy. But with smaller scale farming like this, they've been doing it for a long time, and we have so much that we can learn. There's so much wisdom. When you think about Michael Fields Institute is one of the first community supported agriculture entities, and it's here in Wisconsin. It's been around since the 70s, I believe. There's so much wisdom out there for us all to tap into.
Interesting. We want to remind people that if they want more information about the Eco Justice Center, they can go to the website of the Racine Dominicans. So that's racinedominicans.org/ecojustice with a hyphen in it, eco-justice. And you will see all kinds of things there about all of the beautiful things that go on at the Eco Justice Center on the north side of Racine. And Dawn DeMute is the program manager for the Youth Farm Corps program there. Dawn, it was great to meet you. Great to hear about this exciting program, and we certainly wish you many more bountiful harvests in the years to come, and appreciate you joining us today on the morning show.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Nan Calvert, we're going to do the calendar of community events on tomorrow's morning show.
Okay.
And we'll share those with our listeners then, so you don't have to rush and you can get all the information in.
All right. That sounds like a great plan.
That sounds good? Great. Tomorrow on the morning show, I'll be speaking with novelist Nicole Blades about a really beautiful new novel that focuses very much on issues of identity. The novel is called Have You Met Nora? We'll have a special guest from the University of Wisconsin Parkside on Monday's program. And on Tuesday, I'm excited to do a couple of interviews that are related to one of my favorite things, Star Trek, and a really wonderful series on YouTube called Star Trek Continues, which has taken off from where the original series left off so many years ago. And painstakingly